chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Who is the wise man? Who is the wise man? And that is the title of the message this evening. Who is the wise man? And that comes from chapter 8, verse 1. And the first question, who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight, stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Who keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Why? Verse 6, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. The key phrase, understanding life, is verse 6, to every purpose there is time and judgment. Father, I pray that you speak to our heart this evening. I thank you for those that are safely at home, able to participate in the service tonight. Especially thank you for those that have put forth the effort to be here, those that live closer and have that ability. For Mark Kling, spending the day here and just watching over things for the Welly family and Ray Flores, and keeping the walks cleared this morning. What a incredible job. Thank you for them. Thank you for Brother Monday and his family being here and singing and playing, and for Lori using her talent to serve her Lord. I pray that tonight you would speak to our hearts, that we would not go away empty-handed, but that you would give us some truths from your word that would be a help to us and understand the crazy insanity of the world today and how we as believers can have hope. May we be wise in our understanding. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. It's a great question. Who is as the wise man? Assumes, many a wise man, many a young man assumes they are the fountain of all knowledge. It was interesting. Probably a year ago, maybe 18 months ago, I was around an older preacher. He's probably 15 years younger than me, but I was the oldest guy in the room, and he was answering questions for anybody who was in the room. The room had many young preachers that were there, and the older preacher, just a real gem, a man of great knowledge, has done great things. God is using him in a great way, and he opened it up. He opened up the session for questions. And the young men in the room, with a desire to impress this guy, were telling him everything that they were doing in their churches, and I'm sure he had probably seen it all. And I'm sitting there thinking, how crazy is this? You got this guy here for a short period of time. It was a small group of us. I don't know, maybe 15, 20 guys in the room. And you've got this guy of great wisdom, and you guys shouldn't be telling him what you're doing so he's impressed with you. You should be picking his brain because he is a national treasure, and he is not going to be with us for a long period of time. But they did not. Typically, a young man does not do that. And so, and these are preacher young men. And so the question is asked, who is as the wise man? Who is that? Sometime later, I don't know, maybe 6 months or so, Mrs. Bishop and I had the privilege of being around several preachers, and there was a young preacher in the room, and there was an older preacher in the room, and he just peppered questions and questions and questions and questions and questions. And I walked away from that and I said to Mrs. Bishop, that's a smart guy right there. Now, he's young and he looked young, but he understands that there is wisdom out there, and if he's going to avoid the pitfalls of the world, he needs to figure out where the problems are. And just questions. I was just so impressed by that young man. Great benefit, leadership. Many times, biblical minds will walk into the room. And do you look smart? Are you the wise man? Who is as the wise man? Here at Lighthouse, I am not the smartest guy in the church by far. My IQ would not be the highest. I just happen to be the guy at the head of the food chain, if you will. But what has protected us is that your preacher understands that there is wisdom in the room, and I need the collective wisdom of the 9 men who sit around me in our leadership team, 9 or 10 men, and I pick their brains and I ask them questions and I listen to them. And they listen to me, and when we get all done, we come up with a great way forward. It makes me look good as a pastor. Say, man, you're great, man. But it's not me. It's the way that we work together as a team for the honor and glory of the Lord. Over the years, 30 years now, I'd say I can probably count this on my right hand, one hand, five times, maybe 6 times, when a man has gotten emotionally attached to a piece of business that has come before the church. And after the meeting, I would pull that man aside and say, your proposal is a good proposal, but you have become emotionally attached to that. And if you don't lose the emotional attachment, this is not going to end well for you. It is not. And it never ends well for the individual. It has always ended well for the congregation. Why? Because that person is one voice, and there are 9 or 10 voices in the room. I had a pastor just recently go through a terrible, terrible time in his own personal life. He did not surround himself with wise men in the church. He was the leader, and he had one leader, and that leader, and he crossed paths, and the pastor is no longer there at that church. He is gone. Brother Parsons talked about in Sunday school, drama in the church, that would be a terrible drama. Did not end up in court, but it could have. It could have. It was ugly. What was the problem? The problem is that there was not a wise man to foresee the evil and to hide himself. Many times we are the simple that pass on and are punished. So who is as a wise man? I hope that you're listening. Define. The wise man, define. Webster's 18:28. The wise man is the man who possesses heavenly wisdom, possesses grace, and is accepted by God. That's a powerful definition. And again, the wise man is the man or woman who possesses heavenly wisdom, possesses grace. What is that? That's God's power to do God's work. And is accepted by God. Why? Because he's doing God's work, God's way. And God sees that, and God blesses him. It results in an outward manifestation. A man's wisdom, verse 1, maketh his face to shine. Outward manifestation. So you look at Moses. He, after spending time with God, he came down off the mountain, and you could see it on his face. Every once in a while, I'll say to Mrs. Bishop, I saw someone in church today, and they were carrying the weight of the world. Or I'll say, what's the matter with so-and-so? You can see it on their face. In Genesis chapter 1, God talked, or Genesis chapter 3, God talked to Cain and said to Cain, hey, what's going on? Something the matter with your countenance, so we can see it on your face. Oftentimes, your parents might look at you and say, you've got a bad attitude. However, can see it. They can see it on your face. It's written. Everybody can see it. When you're with God, you can see that as well. It's an outward, beautiful manifestation that Moses had. Stephen, it is said, when he was under persecution, that he had the face of an angel. So you have the face of one of God's angels, or you have the face of one of Satan's angels, a fallen angel. That is not a good thing. And you look at somebody who has been at war with God all of their life, and as they get older, you look at their face. And Miss Bishop and I will say, "How old is Miss Bishop? How old is that person?" I'll say, "Well, they're 50, 52." And she said, "No, they look terrible. That's what sin does. But walking with God, that will reflect on your face as well." The fool is the opposite of the wise man, would be that man that is devoid of Bible wisdom. And there are lots of Bible examples of that. Nebuchadnezzar, in the book of Daniel, to the three Hebrew children, the Bible says that the form of his visage changed. Now, you could see, not only was he mad, but it morphed his face. And you could see that. Now, there are those that have gone in their life, and they've gone from bad, a hater of God, to good. And that would be, an example of that would be Saul, that we know him as the Apostle Paul, married Magdalene, had a rough life, but she is not defined by that. She's defined as a person who turned her life around, turned her life over to Christ. Zacchaeus, Rahab, we know her as Rahab the harlot, but she was a gal of great faith. The prodigal came to himself and went back to his father. Peter, we know that he denied the Lord three times, but later went on in the book of Acts to preach great revivals, write a couple of books in the New Testament. God used them. But we also know that there are those that started out promising. They look good when they were young, but went from good to bad. Samson, talked about him on Sunday morning just recently. Herod loved to have that adulation from the crowd. Pilate, presented with Christ, went from the truth. Nero, he was a fool. Now, the fool has said, "There is no God. There is no accountability." But we know otherwise. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." So we know from the book of Romans that it is a wise man that submits to God's authority. But it is not just a one-time thing. It's not just an at-salvation thing. Do you submit to God's authority every day? Which is so very, very important. So what was, you see, injustice in the world? Something that has happened to you that is not right? As a matter of fact, somebody in leadership has been purposely hurtful to you with a design to destroy you. And that would be 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul. Nero is the guy in charge, and Nero is going to kill him. And Paul's response is, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul recognized, he was the wise man that recognized that God had a purpose, God has a plan, and that Nero was not in control. God was in control. Paul was ready to be offered. He understood that his life was going to be taken from him shortly, but it wasn't going to be because Nero had power. It was because God allowed it for his honor and his glory, speaking to us today. Purpose of government is a righteous administration of justice. What the rioting world, and we see that a lot, and going on in Minneapolis, if you've seen any of the pictures, Minneapolis is a war zone. What they do not understand is that there is a God who is the final judge. And they do not have that hope. The Christian absolutely has that hope. There is a God. He is the final judge. And so when Nebuchadnezzar said to the three Hebrew children, "Kneel or die," they were ready. We are not careful. to answer thee in this matter. The God whom we serve, he is able to deliver us, but be it known, we will not bow. We will not, because they are wise men. The man who possessed, and they possessed heavenly wisdom, they possessed the grace to endure the trial, and they were accepted by God. Of course, thrown into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar looks for it and said, did not we throw three men bound into the furnace? Yea, I see four, and the fourth is this, the Son of God. And there they were, right with Jesus. Why? Because they were wise men who possessed heavenly wisdom, possessed the grace to endure the trial, and they went through it. Nebuchadnezzar learned in Daniel chapter 4 that his pride was going to get in the way of his success. But there, a year later, he thumbed his nose at God and said, hey, look what I have done. He took the credit for what God had done for his own. And he raved for 7 years as a wild animal. That is not how I want to be remembered. But he came to himself and gave God the glory. His grandson, Belshazzar, Daniel chapter 5, he thumbed his nose at God. And what have we not defiled? We have defiled the men, the women, the wine. We have not defiled the vessels that had been set aside for God's honor and glory. So they called for them, and they toasted the gods in the vessels. Are we not a vessel? They toasted their gods with the vessels that were set apart for the honor and glory of God. For the Christian in the room, for the believers there, for Daniel who was there, it did not deter him from serving the Lord. Did it end well for Belshazzar? It did not. That very night he was removed. Who removed him? God did. God did. Give Bob Tates a shout out. Bob Tates contributed to the message this evening. Wanted to make sure that I knew this. That old men are not to be messed with. 83-year-old man at the McDonald's drive-thru. Did he send that to you? He did not. Did he send that to you, Theo? Oh, wow. This is a great story. And behind him was an impatient young lady who was beeping her horn, apparently. I don't know. Maybe the 83-year-old guy was Bob Cates. I don't know. And was up at the drive-thru. And you know, Brother Cates, he's up there. Well, how are you? Where are you from? And he probably knows 10 people who are from the town that you are and three things that they made and can tell you all about the history. Well, that 83-year-old man was taking way too long at McDonald's drive-thru, and the lady behind was the teenager just beeping her horn and waving her hand out the window and shouting things. And the old man looked in his rearview mirror and looked at the gal, the teller taking the money, and said, I want to pay for that meal. And so he gave the credit card again and paid for his meal and then paid for the meal behind. And he said, can I have the receipts? And so she gave him the receipts. He pulled ahead. He's in line. And the gal behind pulls up to the window, two windows at McDonald's, to pay her bill. And the clerk taking the money says, the guy up front that you've been beeping at and shouting at, he paid for your meal. Well, now she feels bad. So she's in the back waving, hi, thank you, thank you, thank you for all, thank you for all. And he's just up there, you know. He goes up to the window and gets his food. Positions it in the vehicle. Now she's, all of a sudden, she's very patient behind him as he gets everything all squared away. And then he looks up at the lady delivering the food and pulls the receipts out and says, I paid for the meal for the lady behind me too. And she said, well, isn't that nice? He said, I'd like that food. He said, I'd like the food. And she said, probably said, yeah, for the lady behind. He said, but I paid for it. I'm going to take it in my car. And she said, well, okay, so I got the receipt. You know, she showed him the receipt. And so she gave him his food, and she gave him the food for the lady behind. And then he pulled away. Don't mess with an 83-year-old man, because now only she doesn't have food, and she's got to go through the line again. Now that's the wisdom from Bob Cates. Brother Cates, I hope that wasn't you. But for the Christian, we know that God has a plan. And so we trust him to work in the riots, in the turmoil, in the wrongs of life that confront us. the world, them have that. Look at verse 10. Here's what we see in the world. So I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Verse 10 is an interesting verse. It caught my attention and I looked at it. So here, you look at somebody and they've died. Solomon is looking at this person. They're died. They're wicked. But their funeral service was held in where? In the holy place. And you're there in the holy place thinking, that shouldn't be happening here. Every once in a while, years ago, Miss Bishop and I were first married, and there's a lady, and it was her funeral, and I tell you what, the preacher hated her, and she hated the preacher. And everybody knew it. Everybody knew it. But at her funeral, a preacher was, man, I tell you what, he was pushing them for money, and we'll open a library in her name, and a memorial for the nursery. I mean, he had nothing bad to say about her. It was all how sweet and beautiful. I looked at Mrs. Bishop and I said, are we at the right service? Because he hated her. I mean, he did. It was terrible. A terrible fight and feud that they had going on. So here it is. Saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity unless you realize verse 6. Again, this is the end of the paragraph. For verse 6, verse 6 begins the paragraph, and it begins with, to every purpose there is a time and judgment. And realize that may not be fitting for that person, but God is the final judge. The wicked, verse 12, do not sin without impunity. Verse 12 says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. You see a sinner getting away with it. No, nobody gets away with it. And that's the belief that we have. Why? Again, going back to verse 6, because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore what? The misery of man is great upon him, as opposed to what we looked at this morning. Prosperous, Bible versions say. That's not, the wicked doesn't, they're not going to prosper. They're going to stand before God. They're not going to prosper. It is not going to end well for them. The way of the wicked is grievous, and that is a good phrase. Look at verse 13. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days. It's not. It is not. Well, I'm doing just fine. It's not going to end well. It is not. It will not. Sometimes right, people die. Apostle Paul, I'm ready to be offered, and time of my departure is at hand. Stephen, whose face shone like an angel, they stoned him to death while he was preaching the word of God. Sometimes good people die. But to what? God's honor and glory. And as a Christian, as Stephen, we understand that God has a plan. And so Stephen is able to say, you may kill me, but God's got a plan, not knowing that the Apostle Paul, Saul, was going to see his testimony, his sweetness in death and in justice, and that was going to nag at him, convict him of his sin till he came to know Christ. A world economy today, trials drag on, witnesses intimidated, murder, a judge and his wife were just shot by a fellow who was in their court, a high-ranking gang leader. It's not going to end well for him. But what if he gets away with it? What if he does? I like the phrase in Malachi, will a man rob God? And I want to say, and in my margin, not a chance. Not a chance. You can cheat, you can lie, you can steal, but you'll never prosper. It will never end well. Because it ends as our competence is with you standing before God. I had to look up the official documents on this event. It was November 6, 1993. It happened in Chantilly. I was working that night. I was there. But I went to the official record, so I'm not sharing any confidential, secret police information. It's all out there. You can Google this tonight. You can come up with the CIA documents that talk about this event. But it was out off of Lee Road, 14600 block of Lee Road. 27-year-old Tina Frances Rica is a Vance security guard at a nondescript building. It was Area 830. I hated Area 830. There was way too many businesses to watch in the midnight shift. And on that night, there was a murder. And Tina Frances Rica, 27 years of age, was killed, 14600 Lee Road. The building was being built by Rockwell, which is a defense contractor, under the National Reconnaissance Office, which again is public information today. At the time, it was not. The county thought that they were getting a building that they were going to be able to get great tax money for, and then they found out that it was being built by Rockwell for the National Reconnaissance Office, and when it was done, it was going to be a federal building, and the county wasn't going to get any tax dollars for it. They were really ticked that they had approved that, not knowing what it was going to be. Now, the National Reconnaissance Office approved the release of files, and again, you can see their document that they put out. It is heavily redacted. I read it this week. Many things in the document are classified, and so I read the accounts. Read how the National Reconnaissance Office said somebody should really reach out to the family and kind of talk to them. Because Dad is convinced that someone in a high-ranking foreign government knew that that was a top-secret building and was in there taking pictures of the plans, and his daughter, not knowing that, walked in on that, and had she known that it was some kind of a CIA building, that she would have never agreed to work there, and they probably should have had more people working there, and Dad's just mad. And rightfully so, he lost his 27-year-old daughter. Without biblical wisdom, that's a wanton waste, and I can tell you today, that was 1993. That is still unsolved. You type in Virginia unsolved murders, and that case will come up. Those documents will come up. You can read those. And I'm sure Dad has a problem justifying the loss of his daughter to this day. And to think that the murderer is still out there and will probably never be found. But for us, who is as the wise man? We understand in verse 6, to every purpose there is a time and judgment. And that guy didn't get away with that. His judgment day just hasn't arrived. But it will. But it will. And what is that? That enables us to continue pushing forward. As righteous men, what do we enjoy? We enjoy God's blessings right now, and God's peace. And so in a troubled world, when somebody says to me, how you doing? And I say, living the dream, because I have peace that comes from God. Verse 15, then I commended mirth, because a man had no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. A new paragraph, verse 16, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth. For also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. And I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. So I implore you to embrace God's blessings, display godly wisdom, be as the wise man that knows But don't wait to apply. And Solomon waited, verse 16, to apply his heart to know wisdom. Just do it. Apply your heart. Godly wisdom is manifested in a humble acceptance of God's word. So, Anna, it's for you to be able to say, God has put me with the best mom and dad in the world for me, because God knew what your needs were going to be, and God gave you to them. And that gives you grace and peace to know God's got a plan for your life. God has put you exactly where He wants you to be. He knows what you need, and He knows that these folks have that ability to help you if you'll let them. If you'll let them. These folks can help you if you'll apply your heart to wisdom. And I'll admit, sometimes it's tough to see and to have hope in the crazy world in which we live. To get exasperated by Virginia politics. So what is our governor doing right now? Our governor, with the control that her party has, is going to pass laws. They're working on passing laws that will do away with mandatory sentences for rape, murder, assault, drunk driving. Things that we have embraced in the Commonwealth. What's interesting is at the same time this is going on in Virginia, in Baltimore, Baltimore just said, we have the lowest murder rate in years because we have finally realized that in order to control crime, we have to be tough on the criminal. So Baltimore is realizing we don't want to go this direction, and Virginia is saying, let's go where the ditch that they just got out of. But here we are in Virginia. What's going on in Virginia? Somebody sent this to me. What could be worse? This is what the article said. We have a crazy, confusing world. We are exasperated by Virginia politics. We have a social governor, a socialist governor. We have a Muslim lieutenant governor. What could be worse? And here it is. We have a full-bird Air Force colonel known as Bree Fram, who was forced to retire out of the military under the current administration, making a congressional bid, and is probably going to win in Virginia. Who is Colonel Bree Fram? The issue is not that Bree or that Fram is a woman. The issue is that Fram is a biological male. Fram went into the Air Force as a man, married a woman, had two children, then decided he was female, stayed with his wife, pretended he was a second mom, and I just wrote after that article, confused. And this person's going to get elected and be one of our elected officials that we are reminded to pray for. Why? Because we understand, verse 6, to every purpose there is a time and judgment. So I challenge you. Judgment day is coming. God took care of Nebuchadnezzar. God took care of Belshazzar. God took care of Herod. God took care of Pilate. God took care of Nero. And God can take care of Virginia politics as well. So, Pastor, do you get upset about it? I just shake my head. And I am challenged, and I challenge you this evening, to plant your feet solidly on the wisdom of God's word. Why? Because man's wisdom is a crazed, confused concoction of state-based insanity. It is a world without God. But I'm going to stick with the Apostle Paul in Romans, as was written, in chapter 11, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. What is God doing? I have no idea. But this I know, I trust Him. Father, I thank You for Your word. I pray and that you would help us this evening, that you would meet with us, and that you would help us to understand that there is hope in this crazy, crazy world in which we live. And understand there is hope, there is a God, that you are the final judge, that you will right every wrong and every sinner will be called into account. And may we, as believers, be as the wise man. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and I know the people in the room, but maybe you, visiting by way of technology this evening, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you'll do, as someone did just a few minutes before the service, call me on the phone and say, "Preacher, can you meet with me? I need to be saved." And I'll do that. But you've got to call me. I'll be delighted to sit down with you and share with you God's peace. I'm going to stand to our feet, and Miss Lori's going to play a short hymn on the piano. I'm going to spend some time at the altar. If you want to, you may, and then we'll dismiss.